from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Gerard Mayo from earlier this morning, right before practice, spoke to the media and had a quote there. Football quote. Only way to get better at football is to play football. Amen, yeah. Brother. And not going to apply to Drake May. He's not going to be playing much football.
Yet.
A lot of mental reps. Be doing the mental rep thing.
Looking at the card, like mm-hmm. you just said.
Looking at cards, which, you know, it's more than just looking at cards. Sure, we know that.
I actually think he probably struggles at looking at cards. We've talked about this. I think he's kind of a athlete, creator, gamer kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. If you tell him, I need you to roll out 3 yards this way and step forward. And
I don't think that's his game. Play. Just play.
Yeah. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to see him play. We're not going to be seeing him playing, though. We're going to be seeing Jacoby Brissett this first week. And he's played lots of football. I mean, listen, he's a guy who's been all over the place. He's played as a starter. He's played as a backup. I don't know if he's gotten better over the years. I don't think he's necessarily gotten better or worse. I feel like he's sort of been, over time, you know.
What about those numbers?
Kind of plateaued.
What about those Washington numbers you were popping off with the other day?
The two games that he played in Washington?
He was completing like 85% of his passes.
Right, for like 125 yards. Like, I'm just saying, like, I'd say Jacoby Brissett's plateaued. You disagree with that? You think he's still on the ascent?
No.
So what are you arguing with me for?
I don't know.
I think that he's...
I'm in a mood. I'm not going to lie to
fine.
You. Sometimes I get in moods. You're going to learn this. I just get in moods. You know what I'm thinking about right now?
What's that?
Getting home and having a beer.
Okay.
I'm just going to be honest.
That's fine. We still got an hour and 10 minutes.
So I will run through the wall, and I won't miss the damn wall. People are complaining that I didn't let it breathe. I should have let it breathe.
I thought that was a great line. I
felt bad.
Took a step back. I thought that was the very good line.
I told you a lot of
that's
these
the
guys...
best line you've had since we started working together, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now that's like the bar. Now
I don't know if you're going to ever pass it, but that was,
jump
it was definitely,
it?
I think it was
not
the best.
That tall. I don't jump that high. The bar is. But these are all these guys. Are nice guys. And you know literally what happens to nice guys?
Yep.
They finish last.
We know where they finish. We've seen that a few times. And listen, I mean, this is the type of season where you start to wonder if the plan is even to try and finish outside of last place. You know, like, is this something they're even really doing?
They have said it.
They're anticipating a last place finish in the division, I think.
Wins. Every time they've referenced wins, they've immediately said this year or next. Wins this year or next. They are not fixated on wins this year. And I don't think they should be, honestly, in the long term. And I think there are some fans. I think there are some media members that are still fixating on wins and you got to win games and blah, blah, blah. You don't. There's no rule that says you have to win games this year.
Right.
There's no evidence that you'll necessarily be better off in the long run. I also don't think they're tanking. I don't think they're benching people to try to lose games.
They're going to play their best players. It's just they're still going to finish last, basically, is what you're saying.
And right, it's going to matter to Juwan Bentley.
Except for the quarterback.
Right. But and they're going to play him at some point. But it's going to matter to Juwan Bentley and Kyle Duggar and guys that I respect as competitors. They're going to go out there and they're going to do their best. And in all likelihood, they're going to lose a lot of football games. My guy, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but friend of the WEEI family, Mike Cadlick. Because I see him as a optimistic young reporter who trends that way like a lot of the young reporters do, but not a Fitzy. He's not a homer and like a super fan clown show bro like Fitzy.
Yeah, right. Not a clown like Fitzy.
Right. Right. So I asked...
Your words.
I asked Mike Cadlick, so what's your record prediction in the locker room today? Four wins. If optimistic, youthful reporter guy is picking four wins, you know we've reached a point.
Yeah. I'd say the only people picking more than that are like you know, sharp bettors, maybe, like guys who like the juice on the over and stuff like that. You know, that's basically it. And it, even they probably don't think it's going to happen. They just like that there's, you know, there's a plus in front of the in front of the odds. But that's really it. Yeah, you don't really see much else aside from, you know, hardcore contrarians maybe here and there thinking that they'll be better than this. And listen, with the bar as low as it is, then the question sort of presents itself is, would it be better, and I know you're going to answer this, but is it better for this team to lose, you know, 13 games than to win 8 games, right? Like, I mean, if you're talking about Drake May getting in and playing, let's say he plays when you want him to in week 5, and he goes out there and like the Raiders last year, they fired McDaniels, Pierce comes in, they win 5, they won more games. He won more games than the Patriots did all season in the 9 games that he coached. And people were excited about that. There was sort of a push there. People were thinking, okay, maybe this is a new day here in Vegas, and the Raiders could actually be something going into next year. I think that there's something to be said for that. And just to take it back to what Schefter said, you know, the Houston Texans were a team that no one really wanted to come to. Nico Collins, you drafted him in the 3rd round. He wasn't really anything, and you didn't have much other than that. Tunsil there you traded for, I think, right? They didn't sign him. I think
years
it was
ago.
A trade years ago. And you weren't exactly attracting all these big free agents. Then you have 1 year where the rookie comes in, turns everything around, you win 10 games, you make it to the playoffs, and all of a sudden Steph Diggs wants to come play there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that I think could be something. If Drake May comes out, has a real splashy debut, and leads him to a 7 or 8 win season where they don't make it to the playoffs or anything, but they establish themselves as something more than a piece of garbage 4-win team that no one wants to go to, I think that could have a positive effect for them, even if it's the worst draft pick. I think they could absolutely have a positive effect.
But you can do both. Just look at Drake May's preseason.
How can you win games and also
No. I don't want to win games.
Okay.
I can make myself more alluring to other players, make it a better destination, and lose games. And again, you're very much right. It fixates on Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
We learned it in the preseason. The touchdown to KJ Osborne that didn't count. People were raving about. That's the world that these modern players live in, is the same world as teenagers. They get everything off of Instagram. They get everything off of Twitter and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be players that see those highlight packages that include Drake May. Wow, did you see that? He rolled left. He threw across his body. And it'll say Drake May completed 14 of 18 passes with 2 touchdowns for 260 yards in a 41-10 loss. I don't know if those numbers add up, but you get my point. They don't care about the loss as much as they see a young guy that can play, that they're excited about, right? As potential wide receivers or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he can be a recruiter and an asset and lose. And you may actually be able to middle it as well. For example, if Jacoby Brissett goes 0-4, 0-5, well, then Drake May can win a couple games when he gets to play.
Mm-hmm.
The record overall can still be bad enough, so you pick
right
top 5. And everybody's happy, and they're seeing him make plays late in the year. Like, Bledsoe went 5-11 at the end of the first year. Like, they sucked, like 0-8, and then like 5-3 down the stretch or something mm-hmm. like that. You could get something like that where you're still picking high in the next draft. I believe they took Willie McGinnis the next year.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Okay.
He was a top 10
so
pick.
So you
right?
got yeah. top 5 pick.
Top
I think
5.
He was the 4th pick in the draft.
Yeah, you're right.
So Bledsoe ignited hope. You lost enough games to pick Willie McGinnis. That's the Andy Hart plan. You see, the Andy Hart plan is picking up on
that's really threading the needle there. You know, you gotta be good, but not win. You have to, right? Like, you have to go out there and make plays, but not win games. And you have to have a nice draft pick, but also be good enough that people see that, you know, free agents see that and think, you know, maybe New England's not, maybe Texas isn't such a bad place to live.
Yeah, no, and it's all Drake May. I really firmly,
I agree.
We can talk about a lot of things. And Gerard Mayo's right. It's about when we win some games, people will want to come here. But it's really about, is Drake May doing what people think will lead to winning games?
Yeah.
Because he's likable, right?
Definitely.
Seems likable to me.
I think Brissett's likable too, but
100%.
He's not. No one's expecting him. Like, what if he has like a Geno Smith like renaissance? You know, and all of a sudden he's out there, and it looks like, you know, they're around six or seven. I'm just saying.
Is anybody coming here for that? Did anybody go to Seattle for that? Already had Lockett and DK. They drafted him. Like,
that's true. Those guys are drafted. I don't see him
bringing talent to Seattle.
But Seattle is considered a contender now. You know, like they're considered a team that's and they drafted a kid too. They drafted Smith and Jigba, right? So like,
yeah,
you know,
it's all draft pick. Yeah. I also think, again, modern young players would probably look at that and say, eh, is that sustainable?
Mm.
Or is Cinderella going to strike midnight at some point?
Yeah.
And so it's all about Drake May. It's all about his development. And your head coach says you develop as a football player by playing football. And therefore, he's decided to play Jacoby Brissett. It all makes perfectly good sense.
The Seahawks did make one big offseason bet, Farrell Brown, tight end.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite players on the team last year. Farrell Brown, now a Seattle Seahawk. Also, LaVisca Chenault, who is Colorado Buffalo.
I remember wanting him to be a Patriot.
I wanted him to be on the Patriots.
I thought he made sense for the Patriots coming out a few years ago. Farrell Brown, on a per-play basis, maybe the best playmaker on the Patriots offense last year.
Yeah, he had that one touchdown, and then that was it. But
no, I think there was one more play. Second play somewhere in there, but it was in a really small sample, because he's a blocking tight end. He's like a journeyman blocking tight end. And yeah, he had that one long run where nobody covered, I mean, catch and run where nobody covered him. But no, it's Drake May's team. It's Drake May's future. We're all, in some ways, you, me, pregame shows, postgame shows, afternoon shows, night shows, morning shows, all the shows, all the media, all the Patriots coverage is on Drake May's shoulders.
Yep, 100%. The Farrell Brown thing just reminded me of something. When we used to interview Mac Jones once a week, we interviewed him the day after that game where he had the touchdown to Brown. It was on a play action, and yeah, Brown was just wide open, and it was probably his only
touchdown.
Is
that a Jets game?
Maybe it was the Jets game.
I feel like it was a Jets game.
And I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but either way, we talked to Mac about it, and we were like, so on that play, you know, what'd you sort of see out there? How'd it go? And Mac was like, we knew that play was going to work. I was like, yeah? He's like, oh, yeah, we had practiced that one. We knew they wouldn't be expecting it. We knew that one was going to be a touchdown. And I was like, you know, you should keep running the plays where you know you're going to score a touchdown. Like, maybe you should lean more on those plays.
You're calling
than the
your
other
shots.
Ones you've been calling here, because that's, you know, you didn't really do much. Weren't a lot of touchdown passes that we saw over the course of that season.
The
but, yeah.
Twitch chat, I find this hard to believe. First of all, nice little run here. There is a name recommendation for the show.
Oh?
The Visor and the Wiser.
I'm the Wiser?
Apparently, because I got to be the Visor.
You're the Visor. That's
so the Visor
sure.
and the Wiser. And then Mr. Dubs 88 claims I had Farrell Brown to score on that drive plus 3,700. Love Farrell Brown.
Wow.
Well, you were like in-game live betting?
Yeah. Or just an anytime touchdown before the
Farrell
game.
Farrell Brown. Oh, but he said on that drive.
Oh, on the drive. Yeah, sure, I guess. I mean, right? Yeah.
That's but even the anytime touchdown in the game, you picked Farrell Brown where you just like, Stiz used to do that on the old night show. He liked long shots.
Yeah.
He likes a little juice.
Yeah.
You're gonna go for it. Swing for the fences.
That's why it's called gambling. You know, if you just pick easy ones all the time, what's the fun in that? You know, you gamble. You know, you throw a bet down and you gamble. Speaking of throwing a bets down and gambling, we are going to help you with that with our NFL predictions, which we will get to in just a minute. We got comeback player of the year. Both Hart and I will pick who we think that's going to be, the coach of the year, and who will be the league MVP. We will also apply those to the New England Patriots, who will be their comeback player of the year. Who's going to be the coach of the year? That could be any coach, not just the head coach. And who will be the MVP of the New England Patriots this season? We will explore all of that with your phone calls at 617-779-7937. But first, here's Justin Turpin.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tell you what's trending.
That was the voice of Josh McDaniels speaking with Julian Edelman on Edelman's podcast, which is called
Games with Names.
Games with Names.
It's a solid podcast. Too long. Most of them go like 2 hours, 20 minutes.
That's entirely too long for a podcast. It's I don't really like listen double. To podcasts anyway, but like 2 hours and 20. Come on.
Yeah. And he has good guests. Like he gets Josh McDaniels, Ernie mm-hmm. Adams, Bears Najarian, like from the Patriot world. And then he has other ones that are offshoots about other games.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a real, unless you're a really good interviewer with a really good subject. 2 hours and 20 minutes is way too long.
I actually, from the clips I've seen, that's really how I consume podcasts, through clips on Twitter. Like, I don't actually, like, listen to the whole things from start to
like
finish.
Most people do now.
That's generally how it is, yeah. You know? And then for us, you know, we want sound clips and stuff to play and things like that. So that's generally where I'd kind of mine for that those types of things. But, you know, with 2 hours, Edelman seems like he's pretty good at keeping the conversation going.
Yeah.
He's quick, you know, he's funny. Like he's funny. He puts guys at ease.
He's
like,
weird enough to ask like sort of off topic questions or maybe go in a different direction with some of these guys. And they obviously all have really good relationships because they're all from the Patriot dynasty, Belichick world. Speaking of which, can we just reel aside quick and then we'll get back to the May thing? Because mm-hmm. I find that interesting. There's too many podcasts. So I just saw a thing.
I mean, yeah.
Now Brian Hoyer is starting a podcast with David Andrews.
What?
Like, I mean,
Brian Hoyer.
Is everybody have
Hoyer
a podcast
and Andrews
now?
Is what's what are they? What's the? What
I don't even
they,
know. I'm back with David Andrews this time. We're I don't know. Quick Snap Pod.
The Quick Snap Pod
with hosted by Brian Hoyer and David Andrews.
Hmm.
What are we
it's
doing?
Just, there's too much. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot going on.
And they're trying to phase us all out. Get rid of us.
That's true.
Get rid of the media guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll just do it ourselves. I'll get a quarterback and a center, and we'll talk football. We need jobs too.
Yeah, we do.
But I also there's
we need
just
to talk about
their
but we need to talk about the podcast
and we will yeah. I guarantee you at some point we'll reference David Andrews on his podcast with Brian Hoyer talking about what's wrong with the Patriots offense or the game or something that will happen in the coming weeks. Anyway, getting back to Edelman's podcast and Josh McDaniels, I don't have the questions that Josh has about Drake May. Drake May all along I've thought is a less thick Josh Allen. I think he's very similar to Josh. Why do you laugh when I say things like that?
The funny line that you said.
he's not as like stout and big, and maybe he'll develop into that. He's younger, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think his
develop
arm...
Develop that thickness.
Easy.
Hey.
What causes it?
You said it. I don't know.
And I don't think he has quite as strong an arm. I think Josh Allen has a ridiculous arm.
He does.
Drake Mays is good enough, more than good enough to make all the throws, as Bill would say, or those types of things. But if Drake Mays not going to run, I'm less interested in Drake May. He has athletic ability. We
run
saw it on
like,
that
I mean, how
scramble.
Are we talking running?
Not
talking
all
now?
Designed runs. Okay. I'm not saying I want him carrying the ball 15 or 18 times a game and, you know, even doing the Lamar Jackson thing and rushing for however many thousand-yard seasons mm-hmm. he's had.
Justin Fields or one of those. Not those type of runs.
But yeah, so I don't want him to be a runner, but I want him to be a guy that shows you every game multiple times that he can run, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
More Russell Wilson in his prime. I think Russell Wilson was the measuring stick of that. He used to run, not get hit, run out of bounds, pick up the yards that
Mahomes,
were given.
Mahomes does that.
Mahomes, yeah. But Mahomes is a little bit more of a run to throw, like scramble.
Yeah, I'd agree
He's
with that.
He's a little more hesitant to cross the line of scrimmage at mm-hmm. times, whereas Russell Wilson used to be, well, if you're going to give it to me, I'm going to take it. If you're just going to leave 15 yards wide open, I'll take the 15 yards. That's what I want Drake May to be. If you're going to tell me he just wants to stand in the pocket and throw, oh, no. I don't know that you're good enough to do
Herbert,
that.
I think, was an example of that. Herbert could run. You know, he was.
But he is more of a pocket passer.
Pocket passer
He's
who can trendy. Get out of the pocket and move, though.
And
I
that's
mean, yeah.
These are the two guys
right.
that most people compared May to in the pre-draft process.
Yep.
I was a Josh Allen comp, but a lot of people were the Herbert comp. And I guess that's where that divide is, because Josh Allen definitely runs more than Herbert runs. But Herbert can run, does have that athletic ability. But I do find it interesting that a guy who developed the best rookie quarterback that the Patriots have seen in recent years and probably one of the best in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a small list of C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert, Mac Jones. Josh oversaw that, and his intrigue as to what Drake may be under the development of Alex Van Pelt, I find that he's an expert. He's an expert in the area, and he's not quite sure what Drake May is going to be. I found that interesting on this podcast.
And also, I mean, listen, for all the praise and all the optimism that we have about Drake May, it's from watching him against second, third stringers. We haven't seen him go against any ones. We don't know what that's going to look like. The only real thing that we have to what?
What's the matter?
Something weird making noise. Like I heard like music or something.
I didn't hear anything.
Voices in my head.
Yeah, I think you're just tripping. Either way,
told you I'm focused on beer.
For all of the optimism that we have, we didn't see him go against any ones except in the joint, which I didn't see. But except in the joint practice against the Eagles, where he got sacked about 500,000 times. So it's like you know we're projecting a lot of hopes and dreams onto Drake May that we did see against maybe some of the future insurance salesmen of America here and not necessarily the NFL competition that he's going to be seeing when he eventually gets out there and plays in a real game.
Yeah, no question.
There's a big drop-off there. I mean, that's a substantial difference.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere, right?
Sure.
Like, that's how you work up. I mean...
But I'm just saying, I understand McDaniel's saying that. I understand people sort of saying, well, you know, we're not really sure what this guy is yet. He was touted coming out of college as a raw prospect, right?
Well, for example... The Patriots run some, like, zone read stuff.
Yes.
Drake May's touchdown. Remember that touchdown run he ran on the goal line?
Yes.
He did the little finger roll as he got in the end zone?
Mm-hmm. That was smooth.
It was.
Yeah.
Do they run that play with Brissett? Do they run it the same way? There were a lot of those plays in practice where when I see Brissett run it, I'm like, is he really reading anything or is this just a give? Is he giving it? They make it look like it's one of those option plays, but is it really an option play? Whereas when May runs it, to me, it should be an option.
Mm-hmm.
He has the option, whatever percentage of the time, to pull. When the read is there and you think you can beat the guy and the guy took a step to the inside or whatever, I want him running the ball. I don't want Brissett running the ball necessarily. Although he pushed back against us. He thinks he's more mobile than...
He said that.
Yeah.
He said, I can move, you know?
And can you? You're an old soul. You're also kind of an old body at this point.
True. Even his rookie year, he had that one big run we all remember.
He wasn't a runner.
He wasn't really running a lot after that. Like, he started for the call. I don't remember him running
that much.
I remember
back then it was kind of a racial conversation. It was like people assumed he could run for certain reasons.
Right.
And then he did run, and it's like, well, Kenny? No, they just schemed that up well. Mm-hmm. I've seen Bledsoe run that.
Yeah.
He couldn't run. He was a stiff. But if you catch the defense off guard enough in one of those boots, sometimes you
people
get
say that about my guy Shadur Sanders. Well, he's a mobile quarterback. He's not really a mobile quarterback. Like, that's not.
You know why they say that? Because he's Deion's son.
That could be. Yeah, might have something to do with
it. They just presume that he's going to be great and he's a runner and all that. And yeah, I don't think Jacoby Brissett's a runner. And I do want Drake May early in his career running.
Yep.
There's no point in drafting an athletic modern quarterback who can run and then telling him don't run.
Yeah, especially when you're probably going to need him to run to pick up first downs. Like,
and to save his damn life.
It's going
to
be that too. 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have our NFL predictions coming up in just a moment. But first, let's go to Tim, who is in Hanover with a thought on Drake May. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I'm losing my brains, man, because all I'm hearing, everything about Drake May, this guy's, he's had 15, 20 different quarterbacks have better seasons than college football already, and we're making him out to be a superstar. I wish him well, don't get me wrong, but I'll tell you what, let's not put the cart before the horse, man, because this guy here, he's got to show first. We didn't really see nothing in preseason, and then all this other stuff, everyone just bragging about him. Let's see what happens, give him a shot, and then we'll take it from there. But you know what? I think there's a lot of people going to be sad in the end of it.
Tim,
really
did you watch the preseason?
You know what? I watched very little, but I tell you what.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim.
Hold on, let him finish. You watched him in college?
No, hear me out. One second.
Uh-huh.
One second.
Go ahead, Tim.
He carries the ball in his left hand when he runs. That's a mistake. His footwork, when he steps up, he keeps his feet together before he hits the line. He's been real too close. I watched a little of him in preseason. Too close to the line. He's using all arm and no leg.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim.
I think there were
some questions about footwork. There were some questions about, you know, reading the defense, all that stuff with him coming out of college. He did sort of drop off in that last season in North Carolina with a lot of his receivers getting drafted and a new offensive coordinator and other things, which are excuses that I feel like, you know,
are valid.
Are they valid?
Yes.
Are they valid for Mac Jones?
When you take away an elite slot receiver like, what was his name? Downs, right? Josh Downs?
I think so, yeah, Josh Downs.
Like, that changes everything. And North Carolina is not Alabama, where the next guy is just like, oh, we got another one. Don't worry about it.
Recruits. I agree with
that. No, it's a different place. He had some line issues. There were some coaching issues. He had to learn to deal with it. He was still pretty good. He didn't have a horrific season.
No, it wasn't horrific. He had a couple of bad games, but he didn't have a horrific season.
So did Caleb Williams. He went number one overall, and he's starting for the Chicago Bears, who were favored to win on opening day in the National Football League in his professional debut.
Yes, and are also the number one team that's getting bet on to miss the playoffs this year. But yeah,
okay, and that's fine, too. You may be right. I'm just saying, these guys that are multi-year projected first-round quarterbacks go through this because we nitpick. We look, and we find warts, and we want to find warts, and we want to poke holes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's a big investment.
Said he didn't watch him.
Right.
I've been big on his preseason was better than people actually give him credit for because it doesn't show up in the stats. The KJ Osborne touchdown didn't count because his line didn't know where to line up.
Right.
The throw to Javon Baker didn't count because Baker didn't catch it. That had nothing, literally nothing to do with Drake May. Drake May did his job at an elite level both those plays. There was the Baker throw down the left sideline. He dropped it right in the bucket, but Baker, A, didn't catch
it,
and B, ran out of bounds first. Right? Those are plays that
Drake, I mean, he was covered, too. It's like, you know, he was pretty well
That makes
well
it better.
There.
He dropped it where only his receiver could catch it.
Yeah.
You're making
if
my point.
His receiver ran out of bounds, which he did.
Well, no, receiver shouldn't get pushed out of bounds. I listened to the McCourty twins tell me why that was terrible.
I'd have
Don't
to
get pushed
back,
out of
I'd
bounds
have to go back
there.
And look at that play again. But
forced
it, didn't
out.
Seem, it didn't seem like that was one that was a sure thing
was
catching.
No, it was an elite throw.
It was a good throw.
It was elite. I don't know why you got to diminish it and say good. It was elite. It was an elite throw.
He threw it into coverage. I don't know. I mean, that's why.
Throwing into coverage, if it's complete, is an elite throw.
But it wasn't complete.
But it should have been. It wasn't his fault. We're not doing this in the five. Do you turn into an a-hole at 5:30 every day? Is that what happens?
Some would say that happens way earlier than 5 o'clock. But with that in mind, let's get to our NFL predictions for the upcoming season. Crank that music. Come on. Let's get
that
going.
Weak.
That was weak. Let's get this.
I want John Facenda's voice in my head. I want to feel excited for football. The Oakland Raider is a leaf blowing in the wind, or whatever the hell he said on those stupid videos.
The Raiders faltered in the hot glare of the end zone, and Al Davis's 30 minutes to live were down to 21.
Thank you. All right, here are our NFL predictions. We've been doing this all week. Let's go ahead and start with our comeback player of the year. Do you want to start with the Patriots comeback player of the year or the NFL comeback player of the year?
Patriots comeback player of the year.
Who's it going to be?
From my vantage point, unless I'm missing somebody, Christian Gonzalez. Because if he's as close to as good as people are projecting him to be, a number one Pro Bowl caliber cornerback, a guy that maybe you're expecting to take away Jamar Chase and then take away Tyreek Hill and then take away Debo and just go right on down this litany, this murderer's row of receivers. Well, he only played 3.5 games in a year ago. He missed most of the season. So he's comeback player of the year, baby.
All right. I'm going to go with Kayshon Booty. Kayshon Booty, who last year was not much of a factor.
What's he coming back from?
In this offseason, from not doing
immaturity?
Much last year. Yeah. I think I'll have a comeback season.
This is why I hate this award. I've had this fight with many people many times over the years. Sucking is not something you come back from.
Yes, it is.
Injury is something you come back from.
So it's got to be someone who was injured last year?
Wait, so it's a breakout player. He's not a comeback player.
I think
he's never
a comeback
been
player. He
back where?
Adversity.
He's never been here before.
He was almost put in jail for gambling. So, you know, he's coming back from all that. It was adversity that he faced.
And breakout player. But
all right,
okay.
Fine. Well, it's just going to be anybody who was injured. It could be anybody who was injured. Or, my other guy was going to be Tyquan Thornton.
Or retired or something. If Brady comes back, he could be comeback player.
I suppose he could. All right, so I'm going with Booty. You are going with Gonzo. Who is going to be the comeback player of the year in the NFL?
A man who played simply 4 snaps for the New York Football Jets last year before his Achilles gave way.
There's
Aaron Rodgers.
Betting favorite right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that team is loaded talent-wise. Loaded. The offense. Hell, Bill Belichick was raving about it.
It's true.
Right? The other day on one of those videos. So
future Jets coach Bill Belichick.
This season, Aaron Rodgers is going to win the comeback player of the year.
I think you're probably right. However, I'm picking Sam Darnold. Same reason. Loaded offense. A guy who was basically written off.
Did he come back from sucking?
From being a backup.
From sucking?
Yes.
So it's breakout player of the year.
Now he's a starter, and he's going to come back, and I think he is going to have a good season. What is the matter with
you? Poppycock.
Everybody has to be injured. It's very narrow parameters for this.
If you just suck,
coming
it's
back
not
from
comeback
not being,
player
yes,
of the year.
Yes, it is. I absolutely
think so.
Can
Jacoby Brissett be comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
If he just has a good year?
If he has a very, very good year,
what did he come
yes.
back from? A few years as a backup and not getting a chance?
Absolutely.
Wham, wham, wham.
Yes.
Terrible. That's what I would call it. Is as dumb as your interpretation.
Well, yours
of my
sucks
red shirt
too.
Rule.
Yours is just oh, the guy was injured last year
or
now
retired
he's not injured
or out of football or whatever.
Whoop-de-doo. Well, you picked two guys who were injured, so I don't know.
That's how it works. They're coming back.
Who came out of retirement? That doesn't happen that often.
Sure, there's some.
Anyway, I like Darnold. You like Rodgers. Who will be the coach of the year on the Patriots this year?
DeMarcus Covington.
That is also my pick.
Because the defense is going to be the best part of the team. There's continuity there. I think he and the head coach are on the same page because they've worked together. I also like him in terms of I'm hearing, we've heard all these players talk about he's going to be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. I like that. So let's send Peppers on some blitzes and Duggar on some blitzes and create pass rush that way. Make some plays, have some fun. DeMarcus Covington.
I went with DeMarcus Covington as well. I think the defense is going to get a lot of credit that will probably go to Jerod Mayo, but you have to give the guy credit here if he's a new defensive coordinator. He's taking over what's been, you know, a situation there that involved Mayo for years, that involved the younger Belichick, Matt Patricia, all the defensive coordinators, etc. I think that he's going, if he's calling the plays, and we'll see if he actually is or not. I think that it's going to be him as well. All right, who will be the coach of the year in the NFL?
So if you wanted to vote for coach of the year, you'd obviously go to your FanDuel app because that's where I go.
Absolutely.
When I vote for my awards.
That's like, where I do everything.
Like
yeah.
Saquon Barkley as the offensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
FanDuel's got something special for our listeners. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all Sunday, September 8th pregame Moneyline bets. Profit Boost will be live starting Friday, September 6th. View your account page to learn more about your boost. Coach of the Year for the National Football League. Thanks to Mike Giardi telling me that the Detroit Lions play 15 of 17 games in a dome.
Yes.
A team that was on the cusp of the Super Bowl a year ago. I hate their quarterback. I'll never be a believer in Jared Goff, but I'm a believer in Dan Campbell. He motivates his team, but he has a talented team to motivate. That's the difference between him and Jerod Mayo. He's got the horses, and he's going to whip those horses into shape and be contending for another Super Bowl. Dan Campbell, we mocked him years ago because of kneecaps and ass cheeks and all those things.
Yes.
The dude can coach and motivate.
He's into body parts and doing stuff to body parts.
He gets it done. He's like Joe Mazzulla. We may mock him, but are you mocking Joe Mazzulla anymore?
No.
He's got a big trophy that he holds up, and Dan Campbell might have a big trophy to hold up soon.
Also, both guys I feel like could handle themselves in a
fight.
In an altercation.
Oh, absolutely. I'd want him in my corner.
Mazzulla with the jiu-jitsu. Who'd win in a fight, Campbell or Mazzulla?
Campbell.
You think?
Yeah.
Mazzulla's got that ground and pound thing going on there.
Yeah, but
you see that video of him climbing up that guy? Who's jiu-jitsu thing?
Who's crazier? Campbell's got the crazy eyes.
Mazzulla doesn't have crazy eyes?
But I honestly think Mazzulla
might be crazier than Campbell.
But Campbell is, what is he, like 270 or something?
Campbell's like bro-y crazy. Like, I'm a crazy coach. Like, Mazzulla's like...
Mazzulla studies how killer whales hunt their prey.
Yeah.
The guy's a nutcase.
Mazzulla, like, you know.
He doesn't breathe when he sleeps or whatever.
Yeah, he probably sleeps with, like, his eyes open, you know, like the Navy SEALs, like something like that. I might take Mazzulla in that fight if I was putting money on it. Not big. He's not a huge guy, but it's not all about brute force, Andy. I'm talking about the crazy factor. And I think that in fights in particular, that definitely matters.
6'2", 200.
Okay.
And then Dan Campbell.
Campbell's like 6'5", 260 or something, right? Yeah, he's a big, big guy.
6'5", why don't they list his damn weight? I don't know, he's 6'5".
What'd he play at? Yeah, he's a big guy. My coach of the year, also a big guy, Andy Reid. I'm going with Andy Reid for the coach of the year this year.
Not big in the same way.
Not at all. And someone who I think would lose in a fight to either one of the two gentlemen we just mentioned. But I think it's his turn. I think it's time for Andy Reid to get recognized. I don't think he's ever been coach of the year. And if the Chiefs, which I do believe they're going to, make a deep playoff run or have another strong regular season, which, I mean, listen, in the AFC West, I think that is very, very possible. I think he's finally going to get his due. It's one of those awards that I feel like there's a lot of politics behind. The politics, to me, point to Andy Reid.
I would like Andy Reid to win it because I think he's arguably the best coach of the generation. I think he's coming up very fast in the rearview mirror of one Bill Belichick, who's now busy doing frickin' Instagram videos and posting things with him petting goats and all this crap. He's gone off the rails. Remember when Brady went off the rails?
Yes.
2002, Andy Reid was coach of the year for the Eagles.
Okay. So it's been 22 years since he was coach of the year, and he's won a bunch of Super Bowls. It's time for him to get it, I think. So that's going to be my pick there. All right. Who will be the MVP, the most valuable player on the New England Patriots this year, Andy?
I am going to go with Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's the centerpiece of the offense, or they want him to be the centerpiece of the offense. We heard Jerod Mayo earlier talking about the run game, and he thinks the run game's been the best part of the summer. Alex Van Pelt. I also think, remember a couple of years ago, he led them in receptions, 69 catches.
Mm-hmm.
So if he rushes, I'm throwing numbers out there. This is the ideal season for Ramondre Stevenson. 1,200 yards rushing, 47 catches. That's your team MVP.
I'm going with a long shot here. I'm going with Keon White. I think Keon White is going to have a breakout season. I think he's going to rack up a ton of sacks now that he's going to be the main guy there with no Barmore and no Matthew Judon. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for Keon White to showcase his skills. I thought he was tremendous in the preseason. I thought he showed a lot of good flashes last year. MVP. I think this is a bust-out season. I think he'll be the MVP of this team.
What does he need to do to get that? Like, does he need double-digit sacks? Does he need to be a big sack guy? Or?
I would say 8 or more sacks, maybe. I think okay. That would probably lead the team.
And the defense probably has to be decent?
And the defense has to be good,
they
sure.
Can't be getting smoked every week, and you go, hey, their team MVP is Keon White.
I'm basing this on the idea that the defense is going to be good. Yes.
Okay. They're not going
to
get smoked.
But, yeah, I think that he has a chance to be the guy, a standout player on that defense. The other guys I was thinking of was, like, Jabril Peppers, or maybe even someone like Anthony Jennings having a breakout year. Jelani Tavai had a good year last year. But out of all of them, I feel the best about Keon White. For some reason, I just feel like this is going to be his year. All right, who will be the MVP of the National Football League?
This feels like an obvious one, but then I look, and the guy's won it twice in the last 6 years, didn't win it last year. I'm going to go where you went for your Coach of the Year award. To me, Kansas City is a safe bet if you want to pick awards. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in football. They're looking for the three-peat. I think he's motivated. He also gets credit for the Tyreek Hill trade and yes. Doing more with less and that kind of thing. Even though he still has Kelce, you know, figuring it out with new receivers along the way. So I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes.
With Patrick Holmes.
Yes, Patrick Holmes. Grimes.
Mahomes.
I am going with Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is going to have a big, big season. I think that considering the fact that he's had this sort of up and down career and everything, it's going to be a close. It's going to be one of those MVP races where there's like 3 or 4 guys that you could give it to. And I think they're just going to give it to Goff. So sign me up for Jared Goff as the MVP of the league here in 2024, 2025, the year of our Lord. All right, there you go. Those are our predictions. Tomorrow, what?
Paul Perillo listening, and I knew I had screwed up earlier when we were talking about the music, the NFL music.
Yes.
And it's the autumn wind is a Raider, and then he said, you effing moron, in the text that he sent me.
Of course.
Thanks for listening, Paul.
Thanks, Paul. the big one tomorrow, we're going to have the standings. Where everybody's going to finish.
All, the whole league, right?
We're
picking division winners, wild card, Super Bowl,
yes.
The whole thing through the playoffs?
From the NFC South to the AFC East, we're going to be picking them all. Who's going to make the playoffs? Who's going to win the Super Bowl? And that's coming your way tomorrow at the same time, 5:30, as we get ready to preview week one of the NFL season, which will start tomorrow night between the Ravens and the Chiefs. All right, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will get you ready for Red Sox baseball. I know, I don't want to either, but we have to because it's coming up next. That was Alex Cora with us earlier today. A hit that got delayed substantially by a water main break in the tunnel somewhere in New York City or whatever it was that that delayed that. But when he finally did get talking, he had a lot to say about Rafael Devers. He's not planning on taking him out of the lineup, at least not now. He has said things before that ended up not being necessarily what he said.
Oh, you're back to
like
the
with
contract?
The contract. Like with the contract, yes. He said there was no way I'm ever going to talk about the contract, and then he talked about the contract.
You
so
really are like my wife.
Yes.
Bringing up things. We've moved past that.
We
Can
have.
We put that to bed?
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out a pattern of behavior.
You are
that's
a
all.
sensitive sort.
I don't like being lied to, Andy.
How about the last part? Was that a lie? Do you think?
Which part?
The part where he said he still believes that Devers can carry this lineup for at some point moving forward.
Do I think that was a lie? No, I don't think that's a lie.
He believes it?
I think he probably believes that.
Is it true?
No, I don't think it. At this point, the way that Devers has been spiraling here in the last month, it would really take something here. And it just seems like if there's an injury, if there's something bothering him, whether or not it's going to get worse, it's already had an impact. I mean, it's had a major, major impact on his season, on the offense, on the Red Sox offense in general. He said, well, no, it's not necessarily about the offense going the way Devers goes. Well, try and tell that to the month of August, because that's what's happened. You know, the Devers started going in the toilet, and the offense followed right behind them. And that's a fact. You know, like you can't.
Well, there's nobody to turn to.
Right.
I mean, Jaren Duran is sort of doing his best, but this isn't a Celtics, for example, where, okay, Tatum's having a bad night. We need a Jalen Brown night.
Yeah, we need Derek White to give it 20 points or something.
They don't have that sort of 5 all-stars depth that the Celtics have, and that's why they're the world champions, and this team is scuffling to try to make a playoff spot. I do think it's so I'm eliminating the S on shoulders. Didn't he just eliminate the S?
Yes.
He told us the throwing shoulder, the front shoulder
that
is the bad shoulder.
He hurt in Colorado, right? Yeah.
So he's got one bad shoulder. Let's not fluff this up and give you more excuses than you really need. Now, it is the lead shoulder for a left-handed hitter.
Right.
Is that the most important shoulder? I would assume.
I couldn't tell you, but I'd assume so, yes.
Like, it feels like that rotation, the whole thing might get weird.
And he's a hard swing. I mean, he swings as hard as he can at most at bats. Like, you're seeing him out there taking hacks.
He hits 107-mile-an-hour exit velocity.
Absolutely.
Whatever the hell it is.
It's not like a nice, smooth swing, though. You know, it's like a very violent, angry swing. Yeah.
So how's it going to get? He took some time off, didn't necessarily get better. He said it's not getting better, it's not getting worse. So we're treading water with a guy who's got no power, is hitting weak ground balls to second base that end up being fielder's choices so he can get on. But
and we're moving him up in the lineup so we'll get more at-bats. So he'll see more pitches. So
it almost feels like he is discounting the injury, Alex Cora. And believes
or
this
the
is
impact,
more of a
or
slump.
The impact that it's had. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Because if a guy's hurt and you believe he's hurt and that's why he's not hitting, you're not moving him in the lineup.
Right.
You think there's a change necessary. Like, he's in a slump.
Yeah, like
you're
Jackie Bradley Jr., let's move him up.
Yeah,
in the
you're trying to shake it up, mix it up, ignite something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel great about that either. I'm
maybe this is the last attempt before they do shut him down. You know, like, maybe this is the last, all right, we're going to try and move you up in the lineup, Raffy, and if this doesn't work, we're going to have to shut you down. I mean, it's just we can't keep putting you out there. Whatever he says. Whether he's like, no, I want to play, I got to play through this, I'm going to grind through it, or whatever. You're hurting us. You're not helping us out there. Your presence in the lineup is a detriment right now. Which is hard to say, but it's the truth, you know, unfortunately. 617-779-7937. Thanks,
he
anyway.
He said two words, and one of them you can't say.
Yep. Will, I think we caught Will by surprise there.
That was the call of the day.
That was a pretty good call. Sorry, Will. Maybe gather yourself, gather your thoughts. You can call us back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. By the way, texter in the 413 says, hey, Andy, Joe Flacco was comeback player of the year last year, and he wanted over a guy who nearly died on the field. That's a good point.
There's
that's
a lot of dumb people in this world.
Okay, well, that's not how they judge the awards.
I didn't say you were the only one who had no idea what the comeback player of the year should be. There's a lot of people that have no idea. Peter King has been voting
I'm telling
poorly
you
in a lot of these
awards
forever.
It's not what it
forever.
Should be, what it is. This is how they vote on it.
You
this
shouldn't
is what they
come
consider.
Back from sucking when a guy died and came back on the field. And now I think he's starting in Buffalo. Did
is
I see
he really?
That?
Well, all the safeties are gone, so yeah, he probably has to.
So now he can win comeback player of the year, because last year he just sucked. So in your world, now he'll win comeback player of the year.
That was so sad when they gave him that fake punt. Wasn't that awful?
Well, I mean, yeah.
No, I know. It would have been a great Disney moment, but you're watching it going, oh, no. And then he got tackled like right away.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. That didn't go the way you wanted. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll come back and wrap things up with Cooper Boardman next. Yeah, it was over anyway, but little exclamation point for you there. With Pete Alonso doing the Steph Curry night-night for the Red Sox, maybe for their entire season, but certainly for the game last night. And by the way, before we get to Cooper Boardman, FanDuel's got something special for our listeners. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all Sunday, September 8th pregame Moneyline bets. Profit Boost will be live starting Friday the 6th. That's the day after tomorrow. So view your account page now and learn more about your boost. Cooper Boardman is here. You will hear him on the MassMutual pregame show and also on Red Sox Review after the game, which has been a pretty depressing job to have. last night, they said, I read Pete Abraham said it was like a funeral in the clubhouse, and it was like a funeral on the airwaves here, too, as well.
Dude, you know, I showed up here yesterday, and I was like, you know, might have a little positivity for you. And now I'm sitting here 24 hours later, and I feel like we're sitting here again like, oh, that's what happened. It's just, you know, it's so frustrating. They're just not scoring. I mean, offensively, you can say they've run into a little bit of bad luck, but... you know, David Peterson shut them down. David Peterson's
a lefty 11? Shut him down. Get out of here.
Right.
No way. I don't believe it. No way. A lefty's going to shut this team down.
It's been
he's having a
it's
good year.
Great year. Great August. Great year. But it is the latest in a long line of bad.
Do they have a chance against this guy tonight? McGill, he's a
righty. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, he's not on the great numbers.
Very much so. It's a pregame show. Of course they have a chance.
Of course.
Talk to me in 4 hours and we'll see what we're saying.
Give us a call. Red Sox Review, 617. No. I absolutely. This is an up-and-down guy. You know, he spent a lot of the year in AAA. This is the kind of game that if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to win.
And a new lineup.
Yes.
Raffy, moving up. Shake it up. And you need to win to avoid being passed by the Tigers in the wild card standings.
Yeah, and I think Duran back, and it's easy because there's a right-hander on the mound, but right. Duran back at the top makes a little bit more sense. The Rev Snyder thing yesterday, I get why he did it. I think that was hopeful. The lineup that they have out there tonight is the best possible lineup they can have, period.
I agree with that. I think that's probably true.
Is it a good lineup?
Except that Devers is banged up and he hasn't gotten a hit in a month. But yeah, other than that, I'd say it's like, on paper, their best lineup.
I will say this, just digging in on Devers, like if you look at his last month, and this is the thing that makes people like want to roll their eyes in the back of their heads. He's hit into some bad luck. Like he has hit some balls very hard in terms of average exit velocity, in terms of hard hit rate, and they're going into gloves right now. That doesn't mean anything. They weren't hits, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the difference between hitting 206 and 220, but, you know, I guess that is a difference. It still seems like, though, whenever he comes up to bat, you're not expecting anything at this point.
No.
And when that becomes the expectation that Rafael Devers, with runners in scoring position, with the bases empty, high leverage, low leverage situation, you just never expect anything from him then.
Yeah, and I think him in the two-hole right behind Duran, now that pressure is alleviated just a little bit because he's got protection behind him in Abreu. Abreu's been awesome. Like, that's the quiet version of this whole thing.
Except in the field. See, when the ball's over your head, go back, don't come in.
Yeah, I don't think he's catching that anyway.
No, but it might have been closer.
Duran has played one the other night, too. So
he's
the best center fielder in the league, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, when it rains, it pours, right? Like, everything has gone wrong. But I think O'Neill, Yoshida, Casas, like, this order makes a lot of sense, 4, 5, and 6, and it doesn't matter unless they hit, right?
Did you, I don't know if you listened to our chat with Alex Cora earlier, but he certainly kind of gave the indication that he believes that Devers can snap out of this, that the injury isn't necessarily preventing him from hitting.
It's more of a slump, yeah.
It's more of a slump. He's getting treatments, not getting better, not getting worse. But the idea that if I move him in the lineup, that indicates, like, I'm hopeful that that might mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's trying to figure out how to hit with an injury, if that makes sense, right?
Sure.
And they believe that he can hit with the injury for whatever that's worth. I do think it's really about pressure, right? I mean, how many times, as you guys know, like how many times in the last 4 or 5 nights has he come up with a guy on second, a guy on third, the bases loaded, and just not gotten it done? And so it would be nice if Willy Abreu was in that spot right now against a right-hander. But I think he will be better. I think he will be better because he's a great player. But, you know, it also is not that big of a sample size where he's been bad. It's like a 12-game sample size. It just feels huge because it's the biggest 12 games of the year. This happens in baseball. But it's got to change. I mean, there's no question about that.
What are your thoughts on Tanner Houck?
I love Tanner Houck, and I love him right now.
You don't think I know there's the numbers with the spin rates and different things.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not the pitcher that he was early in the year, but he's a top 10 ERA in baseball. His underlying numbers, you know, sit with that as well. You know, the slider has been good, but he has leaned on other pitches as the year has gone on. And if you look at what he did, he was basically even in strikeouts between a sinker, slider, and splitter last time out. He pitched in a new way. Like, they're trying to basically get him in a different mental place as opposed to a physical. And he's the kind of guy, his stuff is good enough, even if it's diminished. It's absolutely diminished. He should be good enough to get guys out. We've seen that at points in August, but it has to happen tonight. I think it can against this Mets team.
People talk about this team like there isn't really an ace in the staff. Is Tanner Houck is he ace caliber pitcher in the majors?
He's a great two. He'd be a great two. I think that I don't want to sit here and say he can't be a number one. Mm-hmm. You're a lot better if he's your two than your one.
Yeah. I'd like them to go out and get someone better than Tanner Houck if they can for next season. We were just talking about the correlation between big splashy pitchers and winning World Series. It seems like that's generally one leads to the other. Or when they do win a World Series, it's because they got Chris Sale and David Price or Josh Beckett or Dyce Gay or Curt Schilling or whatever. Anyway, there you go. That is the voice of Cooper Boardman. You'll hear him on the Mass Mutual pregame show, which is coming your way momentarily. I want to say thanks to, all the guys we got back there, Justin, Zach, Brian, Thomas, everybody working on the show today, great job. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Tommy Curran joins the show. We'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.